Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. I am your brother in Christ. I am your servant in the Lord, and I go by the moniker Radio Reformer. And I'm in studio today to present to you another proposition in this 95 thesis that we are preparing, and not only are we preparing, but we are preparing and presenting to the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, expecting and awaiting from them a response. To date, we have not gotten a single response. We have done a total of 33 broadcasts. Presenting 33 independent propositions. And a proposition is a bullet point, A proposition is a thesis. A proposition is an argument. And I've thus far presented 33. We're not using Martin Luther's old 95 thesis because it doesn't apply to our circumstances today. The only thing we have in common with Martin Luther's 95 thesis is that we are Protestants, just like Martin Luther was a Protestant. And the number 95. We're going to be presenting 95 arguments. And also that we're presenting 95 arguments to those who are in bed with the heart of church of Revelation 17 and 18. So those are the things that we have in common with Mr. Martin Luther. And we are doing this to commemorate 500 years. 500 years of protesting. 500 years in which what that man did so many years ago when he nailed that document to the door of the Castle Church of Wittenberg. We are celebrating that because the man manned up. And we love it when men man up and when men are really men. And so Martin Luther manned up. And it was Martin Luther against the world, the Roman Catholic world, that is. And so we're doing the same thing today. Why? Because it needs to be done. Why? Because the Lord has told us to do so. Why? Because that's our present assignment. And, you know, we present these arguments in hopes that those who are caught under the spell, because those attending these kinds of churches where Roman Catholicism is being introduced in an African-American setting, those who attend those kinds of churches have been bewitched. And we're hoping that these propositions will cause these people who sit in the pews bewitched, will cause them to wake up and to come out of the heart of church, because their once African-American church is now part of the harlot church of Revelation 17 and 18. So we presented 33 arguments, and to date, no one on the other side has responded. And let me just say to the members of the Joint College of African-American Bishops, the number here, the number to call in is 646-564-9730. Again, the number is 646-564-9730. And if you would like to drop me an email and tell me that you want to be on the broadcast, that you want to debate, it's simple. All you have to do is send us an email at reformationexpress@gmail.com. And if 50 members of the Joint College of African American Bishops want to come on at one time, I'll take on 50. I'll take on 100. I'll take them all on. To date, no one has responded. And, you know, we're going slow because we want these blockheads to mull over what it is that we're saying, and we would like for them to present an argument in writing. If I present a proposition, present a counter proposition. Prove that what I am saying is false. I mean, I'm making certain claims. I'm using the Bible to make my claims. I'm using audio. I'm taking audio from some of their services, some of their consecration services. And I'm using this to show that this organization is a tool of Satan. And not just a tool of Satan, but an end time tool of Satan. And we need to be on the lookout for these individuals who want to come into our churches and who want to tell us that we're illegitimate, who want to tell us that our ministries are bogus because we don't have apostolic succession. This is the kind of Kool-Aid that they're serving. It's just like when Jim Jones was serving Kool-Aid in Guyana. It's the same thing. This just happens to be heretical Kool-Aid. And they want you to drink this Kool-Aid, and they want you to become zombified, and they want you to follow them without question. They don't want you to be a Berean. They don't want you to search the scriptures to see if what they're saying is so. Oh, no, 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 no. If you start searching the scriptures, they'll label you a hater. If you start searching the scriptures, they'll start labeling you a rebel. If you start searching the scriptures, if you start raising your hands and asking simple questions, they'll call you a child of the devil. On the contrary, you are a child of God. You're not a rebel, but you're a Berean. You are a person who's unwilling to be duped. You refuse to be conned. And this is what God would have us do. John says, the Apostle John says, whom these men claim to succeed the apostles. Well, John said, brethren, test the spirits. Find out who is inspiring these teachings. Is it God inspired? Is it Satan inspired? Is it demon-inspired, or is it man-inspired? And what these men, what these members, what these guys and gals over there at the Joint College of African American Bishops, what they're introducing to us is canon law. And what is canon law? Well, canon law is a mixture of the doctrines of men and doctrines of demons. It has no basis in the Bible, absolutely no basis in Scripture. But that's what they're pushing in the black church, and that's why now you see that your bishop has Roman Catholic attire. And there is no difference between the way your bishop dresses and a Roman Catholic bishop dresses. There's no difference. Why? Because your bishop did not test the Spirit. He didn't test the source of the teaching. He did not test the source of inspiration. He just drank the Kool-Aid. And now he who drank the Kool-Aid and he who stands behind the pulpit of your church is now serving you this Kool-Aid in hopes that you would drink it and become just as zombified as he or she is. And this is why we come on the air. And we do these propositions. Now, before I get into today's proposition, let me just share with you that last night we were in studio. And I mean, when I say we, I say myself and Sister Marie. Sister Marie is an outstanding researcher, and she is part of our teaching staff. And she launched a new broadcast last Thursday. And she's going to be on every Tuesday. You know she's on every Friday. That's a given. When you know Friday rolls around, you know Sister Marie is going to be in the Reformation News studio every Friday. You already know that. That's a given. But she started a new broadcast, which is going to be featured every Tuesday. We started it last Thursday, and we did our first Tuesday broadcast last night, and she's going to be on every Tuesday successively. And the theme of the broadcast is the End Time News Report. And what she is doing is she is gathering the current news of the week. In other words, from Tuesday to Tuesday, she's going to be gathering what news out there is current that deals with the falling away in the church, the great apostasy, and groups like Dominionist and the NAR and what other crazy stuff is going on out there, whether it's a false prophet like Todd Bentley or a false teacher like Joyce Myers. Well, Sister Marie is going to be in studio telling us from week to week what news we should know about. Because, you know, a person like myself, I'm in my library, I'm in my prayer chapel, I don't know much of what's going on out there, and, you know, I'm cloistered. I'm writing, I'm researching, I'm praying, I'm editing. So, you know, I have, my face is inside books. So when I tune in on Tuesday night, Sister Marie will do for me, and she will do for you, what is necessary. She'll take all of those outstanding news reports that deal with apostasy and deal with the end times and deal with the Antichrist and the harlot church and all of these different groups that are assisting the harlot church in forming a one-world government, a one-world religion, and she's going to bring that news to the fore. So that is the End Time News Report with Sister Marie every Tuesday, and of course you know not to miss the Friday night broadcast, because you know that every Friday night Sister Marie is in studio making us laugh, making us cry, and making us think, because we need to think. We need to think, and we need to watch and pray. So let's go to today's broadcast, and let's talk about today's subject, and let's talk about Proposition number 34, which is what we're going to be discussing today. And Proposition 34 reads like this. Despite its claims, and boy, does the Joint College of African American Bishops doesn't make a lot of claims, but despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution. It's not blessed. It is not blessed because God doesn't bless confusion. God does not bless an abomination. God does not bless heresy. God does not bless false teaching. God does not bless a false gospel, much less bless that agency or bless that institution or bless that organization that is promoting the false heresy, the false teaching, the false doctrine. No, despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not, I repeat, is not a blessed institution. So then what is it? Well, it is an accursed brood, like brood of vipers. It is an accursed brood, guilty of aiding Satan in leavening and corrupting the Church of Christ canon law during these and times. So let me repeat it again. Despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not, and I emphasize, is not, and I reiterate, is not, and I underscore, is not a blessed institution, but an accursed brood. Like what John the Baptist said, oh, you brood of vipers. It is an accursed brood. Guilty, 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 guilty on every count. Guilty of aiding Satan. Of aiding, not aiding Christ, not doing Christ's bidding, but doing Satan's bidding. In what? In leavening. Leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. It's a type of sin. So in aiding Satan in leavening and corrupting the Church of Christ with canon law. Again, what is canon law? Well, canon law is the doctrines of men intertwined with the doctrines of demons. And when we mean the doctrine of men, we don't mean the doctrines of good men. We don't mean the doctrines of holy men. We don't mean the doctrines of Christ-committed men. No. When we say that canon law is the doctrine of men, we're talking about apostate men. Apostate men. And the doctrines of demons during these end times. Now, my scripture for this comes to us out of 2 Peter, 2 Peter 2:4. So let me read to you 2 Peter 2:4. And then as I read it in the King James, I'm going to turn to a few other translations. I'm going to turn to three other translations after I read 2 Peter 2:14, 2 Peter 2:14 in the King James. Now, in the King James, it reads like this, speaking of false teachers, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, having a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Now, I need you to underline the two words, cursed children, cursed children, because that's where I am basing my proposition on, the fact that they are what? They, you see, let me read the proposition again to you. Despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution. Now, what would be the opposite of blessed? Cursed. If you read Deuteronomy, and throughout the book of Deuteronomy, God says to the children of Israel, if you do this, you'll be blessed. But if you don't do this and you do the opposite, you'll be cursed. So there are people who walk upon the face of the earth who have the blessing of God, and there are other people who are cursed of God. Blessing and cursings are two extremes. So, despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution. But what are they then? Well, I argue that they're an accursed brood. They're an accursed bunch. Why are they accursed? Why are they marked for destruction? Because they are guilty of all counts, on all counts, of aiding and abetting Satan in leavening and corrupting the Church of Christ with the leaven called canon law. And when are they doing it? Well, they're doing it today. What is today? The end times. So I turn to 2 Peter 2, which is an end time epistle. And in 2 Peter 2, verse 14, again, it reads, these false teachers having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, they beguile unstable souls, and with their heart they exercise covetous practices. And Peter ends by saying, cursed children. In other words, they're anathema. They have been set aside for destruction. They have an appointment with God in which, when they have that appointment, God shall destroy them. That's what the text means. They're cursed children. Now, if you turn to the book of 2 Kings, And let me quickly read to you in the book of 2 Kings, because there's an interesting statement there made by Jehu. And let me read to you out of 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings 9. Second Kings 9, verse 33. And he, Jehu, said, throw her down. Now, who's the her? Well, the her is Jezebel. Jezebel is the her. Jehu enters the city upon his horse, and there is Jezebel looking out the window. She's high up, and she's looking out a window. She's looking down at Jehu, and Jezebel's got her face all painted, and she's decked out in her fine regal clothing. And Jehu looks, and there are certain individuals standing with Jezebel as she's standing by the window. And Jezebel's looking down, and these servants of Jezebel are looking down. And it is to these servants of Jezebel that Jehu says, throw her down. So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall. Now you can imagine, as she is coming, as they throw her out the window, as her body's coming down, her body's smacking against the wall. And there's blood everywhere. I mean, the impact alone, the gravity, you know, the impact. So there's blood everywhere. And it says, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. So Jehu took Jezebel's body, and with the horse hooves, he just made chopped meat out of her. I mean, the horses, and if you've ever been stomped by a horse, I can tell you right now, getting stepped on by a horse, and I did get stepped on once. I was trying to put the saddle on the horse, and the horse was moving, and he moved one of his legs, and he happened to step on my foot, and I didn't ride horse that day. I mean, I just couldn't. That's just a horse standing, just putting his weight on you. He wasn't charging. He wasn't, you know, in a gallop. He just happened to move his foot, and my foot was there as I was putting this out, and he stepped on my foot, and that ended my day. That no horse riding that day. I couldn't. The pain was just so. So Jehu's horses trampled all over Jezebel's body and made chopped meat out of her. Okay? And the Bible says in verse number 34, and when he, Jehu, was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman. Now look at the word cursed. Now this ought to remind you of the word in 2 Peter 2:14, cursed children. Cursed. See, here it says, cursed what? Go now and see this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. So now Jehu says, listen, I left the body out there. It's Jezebel's body. Go attend to her body. Go give her a proper burial. Go. But he says, go give that cursed woman a proper burial. Now, I want you to understand that the word cursed there, again, means that she had an appointment with judgment. Now, Jezebel had been running around for years, without a care in the world, because she was the queen mother. She was married to Ahab. Ahab was the king, and she was the queen. And Jezebel did as she liked. Now, God sent his prophets to denounce her actions. God sent his prophets to denounce her her activity. What did Jezebel do? She killed the prophets of God. She went out in an extermination campaign against the prophets of God. She brought in false deities. I mean, she was just importing doctrines of demons. And in the same way that she was importing these doctrines of demons and a doctrines of demon priesthood, because she brought in her prophets of Baal and her prophets of Astarte, and her father Eshtar, he was the high priest of Baal in Phoenicia. So here is this woman. She is importing into the land of Canaan, into the land of promise. She's importing this pagan religion with its pagan priesthood, and simultaneously she's extinguishing the prophets of God and exterminating and tearing down the altars of the Lord. Now. When she did all of this, the prophets declared to her that God would avenge her evil deeds. Now, for many years, it's as though those prophetic words fell on deaf ears, because Jezebel kept doing what she wanted to do, and she kept living large. She kept decreeing and declaring. She kept living without restraints until the day that God dispatched Jehu. And on the day that God dispatched Jehu, God blocked all of Jezebel's exits. You know how there are many, many people, and if you look at any modern president of the United States, or you look at any political leader of any country, they have escape routes. And the reason why they have escape routes is just, and they're secretive. All of these escape routes are secretive because if someone plans an assassination against you, you have a means to get away. But you see, you can't get away when God comes after you. When God comes after you, all escape routes are blocked. And you see, so when you are cursed, all exits are blocked. When you are blessed, all doors get opened. When a man is blessed, when a woman of God is blessed, they just keep going forward. Why? Because God keeps opening one door after the other. The difference between the blessed and the cursed is that God opens doors for the blessed and he closes doors for the cursed. And so Jehu said, God opened the door for me to be king. I'm blessed. Now go bury this cursed woman, because her evil reign of error and terror are over. Because God blocked her exits, there was no way that this rat sink could go. And this was a dog, because every dog has its day. Every dog has its day. And that's just the way it is. So notice, in 2 Peter, in the second epistle of Peter, Peter says, in essence, what was said in the book of 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, Jezebel was having her way until the day that God issued an arrest warrant and not just an arrest warrant, but also her execution. And it's going to be the same thing with false teachers. They're laughing it up right now. They're taking God's church and they're doing whatever they want with God's church right now. They're having a party. They're laughing all the way to the bank. They do whatever they want to do with the offerings, and no one can tell them different. They've enslaved God's people. They've turned Christ's church into a plantation, a Southern-style plantation, where the bishop and the first lady rule as kings. And then you have the house Negroes, where you have the deacons and the elders, and they're the deacons and the elders and the trustees are simply the house Negroes. And then you have the field Negroes. And the field Negroes are the ones who go out each and every week and bring back the tithes and offerings. And so they've turned the church into a Southern-style plantation. And they have their way with God's people. But they are cursed children, as Peter says. They're cursed children. They're cursed, why? Because they introduced a foreign deity. The God of Roman Catholicism is not the God of Scripture. The priesthood of Roman Catholicism, beginning with the Pope, and then following with an archbishop, and then the bishops, and the suffragan bishops, and the priests, that hierarchical religion, it's a hierarchical religion, where you have ranks. That is foreign to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The whole church government structure where you can actually remove Christ as the head, because the head of the Roman Catholic Church is the Pope. It's not Christ is the head. And the moment African American bishops make their pilgrimage to Rome, and they genuflect before the Pope, and they kiss his ring, and they submit to the Pope, they have removed Christ as being head, and now they're submitting to the head of the church, an antichrist. Now, not only are they going to Rome to get affirmation, not only are they going to Rome to get recognition, but then they're coming back to their African-American congregations here in the United States, and they're bringing back that junk called canon law, and they're leavening, you see, they're introducing this heretical teaching, and they're corrupting the minds of the people. That's what they're doing. And in so doing, they are cursed children. Everyone in the Bible who introduced a foreign deity and a foreign priesthood and a foreign religion can be categorized as a cursed child, cursed children, as a brood. Now, let me read to you 2 Peter, chapter 2:14, out of the New Century Version. The New Century Version. And it reads like this, 2 Peter 2:14. Every time they look at a woman, they want her. And their desire for sin is never satisfied. They lead weak people into the trap of sin. And they have taught their hearts to be greedy. God will punish them. Now, where in the King James Version it says accursed children, here it says God will punish them. It's consistent with the idea of accursed children. Now, let me read to you from the James Moffat translation, and I can do this all day long. I can read from numerous translations, but I only selected three. It says, in 2 Peter 2:14, their eyes are full of harlotry, insatiable for sin. Their own hearts are trained to lust. They beguile unsteady souls. And then he concludes by saying, a cursed generation. And he ends that sentence with an exclamation point. A cursed generation. Now let me read to you from the Amplified Version. The Amplified. 2 Peter 2:14 from the Amplified reads like this. They have eyes full of harlotry, insatiable for sin. They beguile and bait and lure away unstable souls. Their hearts are trained in covetousness, lust, greed. They are exposed to cursing. Children of a curse! Exclamation point. Let me read that again. The latter part says, their hearts are trained in covetousness, lust, greed. They are exposed to cursing. And, of course, the cursing is God curses them. God curses them. They are exposed to cursing. Not that God is using foul language, but the idea that God is giving the word saying, shut all exits. That's what it means. Not that God is using the F word. No. God does not use foul language. The word cursing here means to give out an ominous word. To give, you know, it's like to blacklist somebody. God says, okay, don't let that person get away. Grab them. And that's what happens. So it says they are exposed to cursing, singular. It's one curse. Children of a curse. You see, the word is put out. It's look, this is akin to in the Old West, when you robbed the bank and they identified you, and then they put out a poster with your resemblance, and they would put a price on the poster. Now, everybody knew you were fair game. Everyone knew you were cursed. Everyone knew that they could bring you in dead or alive, and it wouldn't make a difference because you weren't worth 2 cents. Not to society, you weren't. So they can bring you in dead or alive. If they brought you in dead, the judge wouldn't get mad with you. They just wanted to end your miserable life. Because whether the person that arrested you killed you, or if they brought you alive to the judge, you were going to hang. Either way, you were going to meet the hangman's noose. Either way, you were going to meet death. So you are a cursed generation. You're a cursed brood. For doing what? For introducing to the black church canon law. Now, this is a serious matter, my dear brothers and sisters. 25 years ago, when you looked at the black church, there were no men and women dressed up as Roman Catholic clergy. None. There were no Roman Catholic styled vestments in the church. There was no Roman Catholic styled services. There were no elevation services. There was no such thing as a bishop elect. There was no such thing as a chief consecrator. There was no such thing as a zucchetta on anybody's head, or a mitre on anybody's head, or a bishop's ring on anybody's finger. That didn't exist 25 years ago. But Satan has dispatched an accursed brood. He's dispatched them. And where did he dispatch them to? Back to their home churches. To do what? To leaven their local churches, and to corrupt their local churches, and to pervert their local churches with Roman Catholic canon law. Now, let me read to you from Revelation 12, and this is where my next book in the Roman Catholic series is going to be based on. Revelation 12, verse 15. Revelation 12, verse 15. And the name of that book, which will be out shortly, I'm just waiting for someone who is looking to make the cover for me. They said they would like to have an opportunity to make me a cover. that will conceptualize the context of the book. So I said to that person, well, go ahead, do it, and if it suits me, then I'll go with it, but please give me the option that if I don't like it, I don't have to use it, and they agreed. So here we are. I'm waiting to release this book. But this book is based on Revelation 12:15, one verse, and it's called Draconian Tsunami. Draconian Tsunami. And it reads like this. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now, here in this chapter, the serpent slash dragon is none other than Satan. That we know because Revelation 12:9 tells us the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So that old dragon, the old serpent, the devil and Satan is one and the same character. Those are just his different aliases, you know, because Satan has so many most wanted posters on him that he's got to use different aliases not to get caught. Haven't you noticed that people who steal other people's identities and use bogus credit cards, don't you notice that when they arrest them, they had different aliases? Same thing with the devil. He's got different aliases, got different names. That criminal of criminal does. So here in Revelation 12:15, and the serpent, who's the serpent? Well, he's the old serpent. He's Satan. What did he do? He cast out of his mouth water as a flood. Now, when you look at the word flood in the Bible, metaphorically speaking, now if you're speaking of a flood in the literal, it's a literal flood. Noah built an ark because God was going to send a literal global flood. Well, many times in the Old Testament, as in the New Testament, when you look at the word flood, it's used metaphorically to speak of an army. An army. And that's what my latest book proves. I will give you all of the scriptural citations and show you that when the Bible is speaking of a flood, it's speaking of an army. Here comes this army. So what comes out of Satan's mouth? What comes out of his mouth in the end times is an army. And what is the purpose of the army? To destroy the woman. Who's the woman? The woman is the church. So Draconian Tsunami. See, the devil opens up his mouth and it says here that he is what? He's in serpent mode. Whenever you see the serpent, you look at the devil and you say, okay, that's when he's in deceiver mode. That's when he's acting as deceiver. So out of the mouth of the deceiver comes this great tsunami, this great flood, this great army. And what is the purpose of this army? To destroy the woman. To cause the woman to be wiped off the face of the earth. And that's my argument. My argument is, as I reveal in Draconian Tsunami, the reason for the devil dispatching the Joint College of African American Bishops back into the black community is that these bogus bishops were sent back to Deep Six to bury the African American community in deep waters from which they will never recover. Because the hope of any community is Christ. Listen to me, saints. If you remove the institutional black church from the black community, the Negro community, the Negro race in America is forever destroyed. And that's Satan's goal with that community. So this is why he's releasing out of his mouth a flood, if you will, a tsunami, if you will, an army who goes after the woman. But that army is what? Cursed. The army is cursed. The army will have a short-lived, now they've been on the march for 25 years. I grant you that. You see, but you cannot measure time with prophetic time. Prophetic time, when you're talking about the prophetic clock and your daily clock, they are incompatible. You know, we have hours in a day and we have minutes and we have seconds. Not in the prophetic clock, it's much different. So 25 years in the prophetic clock is just moments in our time. Isn't that what Peter said in his second epistle? 1,000 years is as one day to the Lord. Imagine that. 1,000 years is as one day to the Lord. So in the prophetic clock, this planet has only been in existence for 7 days. Because if you believe, as I do, that the earth is only 6,000 to 7,000 years old, then we're only 7 days old if we were to use God's prophetic measurement of time. So it says, let me go back to Revelation 12:15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause the woman to be carried away of the flood. See, he wanted the flood to wipe the woman off the face of the earth. To obliterate the woman, to make her disappear, to deep six her, to sink her, to banish her, to remove her. But, it says in verse 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, or swallowed up the army, which the dragon. Now notice, in verse 15, he's a serpent, but now he's going back to dragon because the devil is ticked off. Once the devil sees that God destroys that army, why does he do? Because they're accursed. The earth opened up and swallowed up the flood. Didn't swallow the woman. The earth did not swallow the woman. It swallowed the flood, or it swallowed the army, which the dragon, you're saying, but verse 15 says the serpent. The dragon and the serpent are one and the same. When he's the serpent, he's deceiving. When he's the dragon, he's out to, now he's going to persecute you, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, if you recall, In Numbers chapter 16, there was a gentleman by the name of Korah, K-O-R-A-H, Korah, and he led a rebellion against Moses. He raised up an army. It was a religious army at that. He raised up an army, and this religious army was going to establish a different priesthood, and they were going to establish a different tabernacle, and they were going to establish different feasts, and they even had offerings, because Moses says to God, receive not their offerings. This group led by Korah was starting a pagan religion within the congregation in the wilderness. And the Bible says that God had the earth opened up, and all those many people who were with Korah was swallowed by the earth. It's the same picture as in Revelation 12. You see, those who rise up against God, those who introduce heresy, those who introduce leavening, those who introduce corruption and perversion, those who want to distort the truth, God makes them disappear. Now, they would have you and I disappear. Satan would have you and I wiped off the face of the earth. But the Lord wipes Satan's army off the face of. That's why I'm telling you, as I read to you proposition number 34, despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution, but an accursed brood. Guilty of aiding Satan, just like Korah was guilty. And what did Korah do? In leavening and corrupting the church with canon law during these end times. That's what this group is doing. And that's why, as I explain in the book, Draconian Tsunami, that's why I show how they're having a great time now. They're elevating, as you see, they need to elevate as many bishops as possible because it is supposed to be a flood. It's not supposed to be a trickle. It's not supposed to be spit. You know, the dragon doesn't spit at the woman. No, he doesn't spit at the woman. He doesn't throw a little bit of a cup of water at the woman. He doesn't throw a cup of water at the woman. He unleashes a flood. And that's why you're seeing at such a rapid rate all of these different elevation services going on. Why? Because the devil needs to have a flood to make sure that the African-American church is wiped off the face of the earth. But I believe in Scripture, and I believe that God is going to make this movement disappear in a flash because they are what? They're an accursed brood. They're just as accursed Jezebel. And what happened to her? The dogs made her disappear. And there wasn't much left to bury. And notice, all people who are cursed get buried. Jezebel was cursed, she got buried. Korah and his brood were cursed, they got buried. The earth opened, because the earth is under God's control. God is sovereign. And however God makes this organization disappear, he'll make them disappear. Because mighty is the Lord God who judges them. Now, this is why these characters won't call this broadcast. This is why I have them running with their tails tucked between their legs. They won't call. They won't debate. They won't argue. They won't answer any of the propositions. They won't give us a rebuttal. And we just need to keep hammering them. Hammering them in hopes that these propositions get out there and our people wake up from the spell because they've been bewitched. Now, Here is one of the co-founders of the Joint College of African American Bishops. Here's one of the co-founders of the Joint College of African American Bishops who happens to be their high exalted poopah. He is their chief bishop. He is their metropolitan, if you will. And he is the chief consecrator. He's the chief. Now, again, you never heard of a chief consecrator, but you're hearing about it now. Why? Because it's something they've adopted from Rome. So here is the chief consecrator. And in this account, in this audio account, he is consecrating a woman to the bishopric. So let's listen. Let's tune in.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We've done what church or canon law requires.
Now, did you hear what he just said? We've done what church law or what church or canon law requires. You can't find the word church law or canon law in the Bible. Again, what is church law? What is canon law? It's Roman Catholic governing law. And Roman Catholic governing law are the ideas and the doctrines of men and demons intertwined. So here he is again. He says, now, he just finished ordaining this person. The part of the ordination, the laying on of hands and the applying of the oil on the person's forehead, that was just completed. And I want you to notice that he says, we have done what church or canon law requires. They're not doing what the Bible requires. They're doing what church or canon law requires. Because they are in cahoots, they are in bed with the Roman Catholic Church, with the great harlot of Revelation 17 and 18. Here it is again.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
We've done what church or canon law requires.
Glory to God.
We've done what church or canon law requires. Now it's up to you, Jack, throughout the world.
Yes, Lord.
As she...
Glory to
God. We've done what church or canon law requires.
Now, what church law or canon law is that? Have you ever heard that before in the black church? No, you never heard of it in the black church. Not until these guys came around. Not until they came around. No, you never heard of that. But that, you see, that's where they get all the funny hats. And that's where they get all the funny outfits. And that's where they get all the ideas for these funny ceremonies. And they get all the funny ideas for the vestment part of the ceremony. They have copied the Roman Catholic Church. They're following the Roman Catholic Church playbook. They are following the playbook of the harlot of Revelation 17 and 18. Now, here's more.
Now it's up to you, Jacqueline. Or can see the vesture.
Now they're going to start dressing. They're going to start dressing the new bishop. They're going to put the vestments on, and they're going to explain what the vestments represent. Listen to this.
Hallelujah. You know, that's too close for us brothers. So, Bishop Carolyn. Where's the other sister bishop? Come here, you sister. Where did she go? What's her name? Haynes? White Haynes? Whoever she is. Somebody tell me her name. What's your name?
White Haynes.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody's trying to correct me. Free your hands up so you can... Oh, that's all right. Use that one and help her. To dress Bishop McCullough. She's wearing first the Roman purple cassock.
What is she wearing? What are they putting on her first? What is the first layer of vestments? What is the foundational vestment? The Roman purple cassock. Now, when you read Revelation 17 and 18, my brothers and sisters, the harlot is dressed in purple and in scarlet. Revelation 17:4 tells you the colors that this harlot favors. She favors two colors, purple and scarlet. And you just heard now here, you just heard. That the first thing this person has on their body, the foundational vestment is the Roman purple cassock. The cassock is a pagan garment. See, the cassock in and of itself, the garment, is pagan. But now you're adding the papal purple. When you combine the papal purple to the pagan cassock, you have pagan, papal Rome. Here it is again.
Spattered with blood. Free your hands up so you can... Oh, that's all right. Use that one and help her to dress Bishop McCullough. She's wearing first the Roman purple cassock.
The Roman purple cassock. Did you hear that? I mean, when you look at, let's just say that your team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. What are the colors of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Gold and black. Let's say that your team is the Green Bay Packers. Gold and green. Let's say your team is the Oakland Raiders. Silver and black. Let's say your team is the New York Jets. White and green. Every team has their color. Well, the Harlot Church has her colors. Purple and scarlet. Scarlet. And to be more specific, Roman purple and scarlet. Now, if that doesn't convince you, then please listen to what he says. This is a Roman purple cassock spattered with blood. Spattered. Now, the only way you get blood spattered on you is if there is a violent exchange. That's why at crime scenes, they're always bringing in spatter experts to determine what was used, what could have possibly been used, and how the violent act took place, because they want to know about the spattering patterns. Spattering patterns speak to what kind of crime it was. So here it is again.
And help her to dress. Bishop McCullough. She's wearing first the Roman purple cassock spattered with blood.
Spattered with blood. Now he doesn't mention whose blood. Well, I can tell you whose blood. I can tell you whose blood it is. And it says in Revelation 17, verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and in scarlet, and decked with what? Gold. That's why she gets a gold ring. That's why she gets a gold pectoral cross, does this newly appointed bishop. Decked in gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. There is blood spattered. It's the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. See, they're speaking in code. Satan's getting excited because this is his brood. This is his end time, and it's growing. The brood is growing because Satan needs to unleash an army to big enough to deep six the Cushite church. To destroy the Cushite church. That's why I'm telling you this group of people, and I go back to my proposition, despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution, but an accursed brood, guilty of aiding Satan in leavening and corrupting the church with what? With canon law. He said, we've done everything according to church or canon law. Now, he didn't tell you which church, because 25 years ago, you didn't hear of church law in the black church. You didn't hear of canon law in the black church. No. You didn't hear, because there was no Roman Catholic double agents in the black church. But now that there is, and now that they're out in the open, and now that they're elevating bishops and making them bishops of Rome, they're calling, now they're saying, we're doing this according to what? canon law, because that's what Rome wants to hear that they're doing. And they have to include that in their elevation services. This is an end time movement. And this group, and this entire group, this entire institution is cursed. They're cursed. God will get them. They will be judged of God. They will get theirs from God. God will open up the earth and make my brothers and sisters, this was so true of Eddie Long. Remember Eddie Long? Remember the Bishop Eddie Long? A member of the Joint College of African Americans. Where is he right now? He's gone. God made him, God made that despicable man disappear. He's buried. He is buried. He's never getting up. And if God did it for Eddie Long in such a dramatic manner, because God buried him in such dramatic manner, he'll do it for these people collectively. Collectively. God can make them all disappear. Collectively. As we read in Revelation 12, where the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed the flood. The earth swallowed the entire battalion. Just like the earth, when you read Numbers 16, you read it. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. All those people that were with Korah, who were starting a new church with Korah, the earth opened up right underneath their feet and swallowed them and made them disappear in a flash. In a flash. If God did it literally in the Old Testament, he can do it prophetically in the New Testament. Don't put limits on God. Do not put limits on God. But here's more on this audio. Here's more.
That's the significance of the color. But the robe is really a slave's garment. We call it kaphet. It's a slave's garment.
In Roman history, the cassock was never a slave's garment. That's a lie. They're calling it a slave's garment because they want you to think they want to deceive the people and thinking they're slaves for Christ. None of these people are slaves. They sit up on thrones. On thrones, and people have to bow before them and kiss their hands. These are not slaves. This guy is lying.
It's a slave. She's a servant.
Do you hear the Kool-Aid drinkers clapping? Oh, they're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Not a problem.
The white garment that was put on her is the priestly garment. It is the garment. You're going to have to do better than that. You're going to have to stand over there.
Now, St. Peter said in his first epistle, chapter 2, he says, we're a royal priesthood. Now, were you ever given a priestly garment in the church? Did the church ever give you a priestly garment? No. Peter, in speaking to all of us, said, we are a royal priesthood. Do you have a priest garment? No. Peter never said that we had to get priest garments. But it is true of the Roman Catholic Church. They're giving out priest garments like they're going out of style.
Or somewhere up there.
My Lord.
This garment, the white garment, is for celebrating the sacraments of our redemption. The red coat that only bishops should wear is the prophet's coat. It is a symbol of inheriting the prophetic.
Now, did John the Baptist wear a red coat? Did Elijah wear a red coat? Did any of the prophets red coat? And by red, he means scarlet. See, scarlet, purple, and he calls it red, but it's scarlet. None of the prophets had a, again, red signifies the prophetic. No, it doesn't. Red, if you read the New Testament, and let's go there, let's go to Revelation 12. Go with me, please, my dear brothers and sisters, to Revelation 12. And in Revelation 12, verse number 3, it says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon." Red is for Satan. Red is for, and here in the Greek, red is poudros. P-U-R-R-O-S, poudros. Fiery red. Fire engine red. Red, when somebody's hot under the collar. Satan, as the great red dragon, is a blood spiller. He cannot control his temper. Satan is always red-faced. Oh, he's deep neck in blood. See, these are the colors of those who are in cahoots with Satan, according to Revelation 12 and 17.
Take office, the principal preacher of Rapha. The stole she's receiving will have coat of arms on it. She'll get another one from the joint college, but she has her own coat of arms.
Now, coat of arms has to do with heraldry. Has to do with people thinking themselves to be kings and princes. Now, did you get a coat of arms? Did I get a coat of arms? Did Jesus give out coat of arms? Did his apostles? When Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, did he speak to them about receiving their coat of arms? When Paul wrote his pastoral letters to Timothy and Titus, did he mention coat of arms? When Peter wrote to the elders of the church in 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, did he speak to them of coat of arms? No! All of this is Roman Catholic.
This seal says, the Sigillum Episcopus Jacqueline E. McCullough.
See, it's all Latin. Now they're using Latin language. Well, again, what is the one church that uses the Latin and refuses to use anything else? The Roman Catholic Church. And these dopes are complying.
And then this year, MMXV, meaning 2015 AD. Sigillum Episcopus, meaning the seal of Bishop Jacqueline McCullough. She has the shepherd's staff, the dove with the olive branch, the word of God uppermost on her crest, and the cross of Christ's crucifixion. To the right of her crest is my coat of arms as her chief consecrator.
Where do you get the idea of a chief consecrator and two co-consecrators? You see, you need in order for any elevation service to be legitimate, according to Roman Catholic canon law, you need a chief consecrator and two co-consecrators. This was done according to Roman Catholic canon law.
And so, in a strange way, my sister, who is the daughter of McKinley, has also become my daughter in episcopacy. And I don't give my coat of arms to everybody. I got two people I gave them to. I asked for them back, but they won't give them back to me.
Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Now, listen to this astonishing piece of audio.
Sentence is life. And we respect her government?
Now they're going to give this person an Episcopal ring. Listen to this.
And collegiality with her fellow bishops. She is one among all of us. This is her ring, symbol of authority. And we respect her truthfully. You don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. Put it on. Get it on. You get it on. Okay. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out to shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Peace, Bishop.
Ah. Oh, I didn't know that. Just read up. How you be?
Yeah, we didn't know that because there was no infiltration of Roman Catholic double agents until now. No, we didn't know that because that's foreign to the African American experience. Of course, we didn't. That's paganism, being brought into the church and leavening, corrupting the church.
Put your hand down. And just speak.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, gentlemen with class know when she extends her hand with that ring, we just simply salute her by kissing the ring. We ain't got to hug her and squeeze her and bang her into us. Don't do that. She's a bishop. She's a bishop. Bishops that will, in a minute, you can come and salute her and go back to your seats.
In other words, they can march up and they can start doing the initiation rite, which is kissing the ring, and the kissing of the ring is a form of idolatry and veneration. That's all it is. So now we're being introduced to idol worship, and the only one that we're supposed to be kissing, the only one that we're supposed to be worshiping, The only one is the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, this is an apostate church, and this is an apostate movement, and this is what's being introduced into the black church. And so I conclude with this. Despite his claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution, but an accursed brood. The whole lot of them. The whole gang. The whole company, the whole corpus is an accursed bunch. Guilty of aiding Satan in leavening and corrupting the Church of Christ with canon law during these end times. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to develop this more about this group being accursed. I don't want to rush through it because there are many, many other scriptures. So I will come back tomorrow. I'll come back tomorrow, and I'm going to develop this idea of what it means to be accursed in proposition number 35, because we need to hammer this point home. I love you in Jesus. Tune in tomorrow. God bless you, and don't forget, pray for these people, that perhaps, God will save them, perhaps. Maybe they're too far gone, I don't know, you don't know, but let's pray for them, earnestly. Now, they're going to curse me, and they're going to badmouth me. And they're going to spread lies about me, but I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to rebuke them and admonish them in the love of the Lord. God bless you, saints, in Jesus' name.
Ancient song that speak to work of woe is Since the stars have split, we shall.